Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the letter to the Hebrews. It's about the same topic of flesh and blood, but not like the first and third readings. It's about Jesus's bonding with us by becoming flesh. Some of the most radical expressions of the incarnation are in the letter to the Hebrews. They're so powerful. So, you see, so chapter 2 starts, we must attend to what we've heard, because the Hebrews, Israelites heard it and they fell away. For it was not to angels that he subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. I don't have time to explain all that. Instead, someone has testified somewhere. This is this great savant. He probably knows the whole Bible by heart. But this someone has testified somewhere. He knows exactly where it is. I mean, most people would, because it, you know, it's Psalm 8. You know? But that's, this is the guy who knows Scripture better than anybody else in the whole Bible. This guy wrote the letter to the Hebrews. Trouble is, we don't even know who he is. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? You made him a little, for a little while, yeah, he made him for a little. A little dignity, a little class, a little while, maybe all three. They put in a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, subjecting all things under his feet. Now, I want to show you the difference between faith and timidity. Everything subjected under his feet. Have you ever seen that? What do you mean? Here comes a thunderstorm. Stop it. It's going to ruin your fields. Go ahead. Push a button. This world is not, it was, but it's not now. So he's quoting that psalm. So what does a man of faith do? He says, just a minute. I never saw that. You know, what does that text mean? Rather than, oh, it's fine, and we're all words subject, it is? Well then, if you want to have a picnic tomorrow and it starts to rain, stop it. You can't. So he goes on, and this is where the text picks up in a moment. You see, all things under his feet. And then it goes on, you see, yet at present we do not see all things subject to him. But we do see Jesus. Do we see Jesus? That's the point. Are we living by faith? Do we pray? Is our heart alive enough that we can say we see Jesus? You see, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor from the psalm, because he suffered death. He, for a little while, the little while from the text, for a little, and he puts in while, for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He had to be less than angels. He had to be physical to help us. You see the vision? God had to take on matter to take us back to himself. And so he did, you see? And so that he was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God, now being physical, he might taste death for everyone. And then the text goes on, for it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, that's the Father, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. It was fitting. You have to meditate on this a lot, don't you? What does it mean it was fitting? I'm trying to think of an example. A mother with a sick child, she'd rather be sick herself, take it away from the child. It would be fitting if she could do that. Why? Because of the love. But God is love, so it was fitting for him, you see? For whom and through whom are all things, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. So he has to have a body, you see? And so that's the next line, and it's in our text. In other words, this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, in another way. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. They're all from God. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. He's quoting Psalm 22. That's the promise in Psalm 22. When this that psalm, as you know, begins, my God, why have you abandoned me? Goes through, he's counting all his sufferings. And then, at a certain point in the psalm, it depends on how you translate this word, you heard me. And all of a sudden, I will proclaim your name in the great assembly. That's what happens at every Mass. He's proclaiming the Father's name, you see. And so, he's saying, you see, and I will proclaim your name to my brothers. That's why Jesus says, go tell my brothers that I'm going to go ahead of them to Galilee. It comes from this psalm, which Hebrews is quoting here, you see. And so you have this notion that it comes from flesh and blood. And so we have this vision. Huh? Now, the text stops at verse 11. But we're going to go on a little bit. See, he who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Yes. Okay. The origin being humanity. Okay. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. And we just read that from Psalm 22. In Matthew, as I think I've already mentioned, the word to the women is, go tell my brothers that I'm going to see them in Galilee. Every Mass, as I've already said, Jesus is standing there fulfilling this prophecy, declaring the name of the Father to his brothers and sisters who are there. Are we listening? Do we see what's going on? Do we hear the word of God? Which, as I've quoted now a lot, you see, that preached word there, that's analogous to the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Are we listening? Are we taking in? Are we being changed, you see? We're his brothers and sisters. And here's where he most explicitly proclaims the name of the Father. How do I know that? Pick up your missal and read the canon of the Mass. That whole canon is addressed to the Father. The whole canon. And it ends, through him and with him and in him is to you, God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. That's how it ends. Then what do we say? Our Father, who art in heaven, because he's our Father in Jesus, and we are brothers and sisters, and we are gathered around him, entering into his act of love by which he gave himself in the Passion, and thanking and worshiping the Father in and through Jesus. That's what the Mass is. So that's what this text is telling us, you see. He shared to them that through death, I should go a little slower. Now, since the children share in blood and flesh, he likewise shared in them. God became flesh. Isn't that what John says? And the Word became flesh. God became flesh. What kind of love is that? It's impossible to understand. He did that, and there's the motive, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. The one thing we fear is death, right? And everything that leads, that looks like death, diminution, getting fired, even getting cut off. Why are we furious? I'm being made little of, which is only a tiny little symbol of death. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to fear death. I've passed through death. I've conquered death. You will meet me in death. Don't we ask Our Lady to pray for us now and at the hour of our death? And so this, see what he's saying? You're only subject to the devil when you're afraid of death. If you're not afraid of death, then you're not a subject, you're not being dominated by the Satan, right? A guy walks into oh, let's say the parish church on a Sunday, five or six guys all with loaded machine guns. And they say, anybody who believes in the Trinity, line up over that wall. The rest of you can go. They go over there scared to death of their emotions, but they're not afraid of death. In a little while, you know, another 10 minutes, they're going to see God. Is that scary? Yeah. But it's only scary at a certain level because we know that because, as it says here, that through death, he might destroy the power of the one who has, or the other one who has power over death, and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life long. You conform in the company because you're afraid of the little death of being fired. You go ape when somebody cuts you off because you're being made less of. A little death, a tiny death, but you go nuts. Why? Because you don't know that Jesus has passed this way. That's why he took on a humanity. It wasn't to show off. It was to take all our humanity into his heart. All its suffering, all its corruption, even all its sin, and then give it back to the Father on the cross and break the back on Satan. And so, while that first text is talking about bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, now God says they are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I am one of them. So go tell my brothers that I will see them in Galilee. He's our brother. He's part of our family. And he's God. And that's what this text in Hebrews was, is taking that unity, the physical unity of humanity, from another angle. The basic angle is the physical unity of man and woman, who can consummate that through intercourse and the begetting of new life. So now there's no reason to be ashamed of being matter or afraid of being matter, not even being afraid of dying. And that's what this text is telling us, you see. Isn't that beautiful? He is not ashamed, you see, to call them brothers, saying, you see, all the things I just read out for you. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. So who's gathering everyone together to praise God at the liturgy? Jesus. Who is present in the preached word? Jesus. Who's present in a more powerful way in the Eucharist? Jesus. He only can do that because he shared flesh and blood with us, and still does. And that's what this very bold text is telling us. So Adam and God's plan, man and wife, share flesh and blood. They're Adam, they're humankind. And Jesus enters into that and raises the whole, not only saves us, but raises the dignity of being matter. So we have nothing to be ashamed of in being matter. Now, Adam and Eve were ashamed because their sexual drives, now they experience them as out of order. That's why, to illustrate the perfect harmony of, they were both naked and they felt no shame. Shame is a condition of sin. And we're ashamed of all kinds of things. But we don't have to be afraid. That's what this, because now, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh is Jesus. Amen.